I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Better Together, guys. When you know better, you get better. Kelsey found some fun music to start the show with. I'm liking it. Today, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Erin Falconer. And she wrote this amazing book called How to Get Shit Done. Guys, I am so excited. I mean, right from the top, there are so many moments in here that I'm like, what? We have a constant need to prove our worth when our worth should be obvious to anyone or anything living within a 100-mile radius of planet Earth. She's talking about us ladies, not you guys. You may feel like the most productive person alive, but without a purpose, you're just busy. Damn, throw the book down. Drop the book.
Drop the book.
I can't even be cool. Thank you guys for joining us, of course. And also, because we're better together, we ask that we help each other. So obviously, if you choose to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Maria Menounos, you'll never miss an episode because you'll get those cute little notifications, and I'll continue to bring you the world's best experts in all areas of life. And if you would do me the kindness to help me and other listeners find their way here by rating, reviewing on Apple Podcasts, or sharing an episode on social media, that would be unbelievable, and we would be so grateful for you sharing it with people that would benefit and that would love it. I mean, I know when I'm helping people, because you guys know, well, maybe you guys don't know, but my side hustle is helping people with cancer. And so probably every day I'm having a coaching session with a new family, usually runs about 90 minutes to 2 hours. And I'm giving them all the things that we've learned along the way with my mom. And I'm like, okay, you need to listen to this episode and this episode and this episode and this episode, because there are so many amazing healers and experts that we have brought on the show that have been so helpful. So I, like, for example, let's see what I sent Kevin's friend who just got diagnosed with stage 4.
Such a noble side hustle. I feel like most people's side hustle is like, yeah, I'm building a car, repairing something on the side, and you're like helping families heal.
Thanks.
And repair.
Thank Maria's you. Like, oh, it's been my 3-year side hustle. So I sent the health hacks and autoimmune tips with Alyssa Goodman.
Amazing episode.
Reverse chronic illness through diet with Dr. Mark Emerson.
Another amazing episode.
Unlocking your mind and full potential with Dr. Joe Dispenza.
I mean, unbelievable episode.
Fighting breast cancer with Dr. Christy Funk.
Christy Funk's a genius.
Because I think her dietary and nutrition findings in her book aren't just applicable to breast cancer. It's for everything. And Anita Morjani's fascinating near-death experience, because the biggest part about her and her book Dying to Be Me was that she wasn't living her true self and her true life, and her cancer was because of that. And then she had a miraculous spontaneous recovery when she decided she was going to live her true journey. And so I feel like there's an emotional component to cancer that people don't address necessarily. And so things like that, I think, can put things into perspective. I also told her to watch Heal, the documentary, and Weed the People.
This is my homework.
So if you are new to the show, we have a library of incredible episodes. And so if you can help share any of them with your friends that are struggling, like our friend who is just going on this cancer journey, you know, I said to her, I go, if you can look at it as like an invitation to change your life, you will go through this in a much more kind of graceful way. And the way to do that is to educate yourself. And so that's what we do here every week, every day. And if you could help us by sharing that, that would be great, because we're better together. We can't do it without you. So thank you for that. If you haven't joined us on Patreon, click the link in the summary. We do exclusive footage there every week and great giveaways that will help you on your journey. Our quote of the day: lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24-hour days. Zig Ziglar.
You know from our show how many of us struggle with mental health today, but lack time, direction, and money to cope. That's why I'm excited to share Talkspace with you. Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform that has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and so much more. With Talkspace, you're able to access providers from your device 24/7, so therapy can be on your schedule. It's like having a therapist in your pocket at a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off of your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code BETTER to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for the show. That's BETTER and Talkspace.com. Let's keep healing together.
I love that.
I really love that because we're all bitching that we don't have enough time. And yet, think of like the super productive people that get so much done. And they're so successful. They have the same amount of hours we do. What's our friggin' excuse?
Totally. It's a good call out. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs and I do have the same amount of hours in the day. Well, RIP Steve Jobs. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah. Totally.
I really like that. I want to put that on Instagram today.
I feel like when you realize how much time you actually spend on your phone or just doing little random things like that adds up.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jeff just said, RIP Steve Jobs, but he has the same amount of hours as us. He did. So we can do it too. I love that.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for our guest. And it's funny. I feel like one of our guests recently, our guest yesterday, Gretchen, said when you're kind of overwhelmed and you think, oh, I got to take stuff off my plate, it's actually you got to add stuff to your plate because, oh geez, the light just fell. You got to add more stuff to your plate. In fact, we had another guest that said the same thing. It's a kind of running theme recently, I feel like, where it's like, stop taking stuff off. You need purpose. I think it was Ed Milet maybe that spoke about that as well. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because I'm finding myself in a moment where I feel a little burnt out. Not a little, like a lot. Yeah. And I feel like I'm slipping and I'm really trying hard not to. But I'm waking up with so much anxiety in my stomach and I'm like, oh, this is just, I'm not going to say it out loud, but this is just a recipe for disaster inside of my body and I know better. And so I need to figure out how to escape and shut down. And so I think I have to figure that out. But at the same time, you know, maybe, I mean,
well, what I like about Erin Maria is she talks about not necessarily adding more to your plate, but adding more of what matters to your plate. So she has an exercise in the book that we'll talk about today where she says, make a list of all the things you want to do, cross everything out but three. And like, you got to focus on those three. She calls it the big three. And she says that's a great way to focus your energy on what really matters to you at that time. So yes, adding things, but I think especially adding things that are going to move the needle right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Facebook group and Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
So let's get to our interview and figure out how to get shit done, why women need to stop doing everything so they can achieve anything. What? Woo. Maybe that was one of the trumpet people taking over my body. So Erin Falconer is the editor-in-chief and co-owner of Pick the Brain. It's one of the fastest growing and most trusted self-improvement websites and communities on the web. She's got over 200 bloggers from around the world contributing content. It's not only a great passion project, but it's become a powerful global voice and brand in the self-improvement space. Her best-selling book, How to Get Shit Done, outlines practical strategies that we can implement into our daily lives to accomplish the goals that we want. Do we have Erin? Yes, we have Erin. Hi.
Zoom scary.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you coming to us from?
From Venice.
Oh, that's right. You're in Venice.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Venice.
But I'm originally Canadian. I have to say that in every interview.
Well, I am going to come to Venice and handcuff you to me because I hoard Canadians and Midwesterners because I think they're the nicest people on the planet.
I welcome your handcuffs.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, your story is a really kind of big part of how you got to where you are. So would you give our audience a little bit of background on how you landed where you are now?
Yeah. So, you know, in a nutshell, I kind of grew up in a small Canadian town, was very type A, very like, you know, had to be valedictorian, all that stuff, and was on a fast track. Went to Oxford when I was 16, was on a very academic fast track. But all along, I sort of had this like inner voice, creative inner voice that kept kind of popping up. And it first reared its head when I was 16. And out of the blue, I just decided to do a stand-up comedy competition. I'd never done stand-up before. So weird, like things like that kept coming up, and I kept pushing them down and kept going on through school, and went to McGill, really good university in Canada. And then right when I was about to go to law school, basically on the eve of the night I was going to go to law school, I was like, you know what, I'm not doing this. I'm going to move to Toronto and be a writer or something. I don't know.
Literally on the eve.
Yes. Yes. And so I just, again, it wasn't one of these things where I was like contemplating for a long time. It was kind of like the stand-up comedy thing where it just kind of like smacked me at, you know, I was driving my car and it was like, nope. Or in the comedy thing, I was like, yep, you're doing that. And then with the law school thing, I was like, nope, you're not doing that. So I called the law school in the morning. I was like, can I defer for a year? They said, yes. I called my parents and they were like, what? But they supported me. So I moved to Toronto and I gave this kind of entertainment world a try for a year, then 2 years, then 3 years. And finally, my parents flew to Toronto to have a very polite Canadian style intervention. And they said, you know, you've given this a try for, you know, years now, and it's not really working. And again, in one of those moments, I was like, you know, I totally agree with you. That's why I really feel like I need to give this a shot. And I'm going to move to Los Angeles. And they were like, they were less supportive in that moment. And so anyways, I ended up moving to LA and had a bit of a good run for a while. But again, long story short, I found myself in 2008 in the financial crisis, in the fetal position on the bathroom floor, bawling my eyes out. I had no money. My house was being foreclosed on, no car. My visa was expired. And I was like, oh my God, how did I get here? This is nuts. I was like on a fast track to be like, I would be a partner in a law firm right now. And instead I'm in this really dire situation. And so I didn't know how to get out of it. I called a couple of mentors. I had two mentors specifically, hysterical. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I got to go back to Canada. And they both said individually, they don't know each other. Well, you know, and I was, the thing that was so scary is that I'd listened to this inner voice and it seemed to have been failing me. And so, you know, when that happens, you're like spinning out of control. You don't, it's like, you don't have a true north, right? So, but both of those mentors said to me, you gotta, instead of running from that voice, double down on it. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm literally, things could not be worse, except that I have my health. But other than that, things could not be possibly worse. And so they said, well, that's my advice, both of them. So I kind of pulled myself up and I said, okay, I'm going to do one more try here. I sent out 100, literally 100 resumes on Craigslist, got back one response, which was to be a $15 an hour copywriter at this new self-improvement website. And this is 2008. So like blogging and websites are really kind of just starting. So I knew nothing about the internet. This was not the writing job that I came to Los Angeles for, but I was like, okay, I'm either going to take this and make it work and really put a plan around it, or I got to go back to Canada. And so I decided to take this job, and I was able to turn it into Pick the Brain, which is now one of the biggest, most self-respected self-improvement blogs on the web. I have 400 people writing for me daily. Then I was able to turn Pick the Brain into my another company called Leaf TV, which I sold in 2015. And then out of those two successes came my first book, which is called How to Get Shit Done, Why Women Need to Stop Doing Everything So They Can Achieve Anything. And it's kind of the story of how I got to where I am now. But the biggest kind of surprise of that book is that it wasn't the success that is at the forefront of the book. It's that I ended up getting all of this success and then, but wasn't realizing, you know, I was just on automatic. I was kind of back in that type A personality where it was just like, go, 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 go. So I wasn't realizing what I was doing. I certainly wasn't appreciating it. I wasn't stopping to self-reflect and see if I even was enjoying any of it. And so I really hit a wall, this big burnout wall, which threatened to like have everything come unhinged again. And that's the book is kind of the story of how I rediscovered who I was and what was really important to me.
All of you listening to our show know how important it is to live a healthy lifestyle, but we also know how important it is to enjoy life too. That's when you reach for Coors Pure. Now, if you're as huge a beer lover as I am, you know beer can wear you down. Enter Coors Pure. Coors Pure is an organic beer with zero sugar and only 92 calories. A refreshingly simple beer with organic barley, organic hops, and water. It's the perfect crisp and refreshing beer to reach for while living a balanced life. Now, whether you're feeling overwhelmed or celebrating the wins of everyday life, Coors Pure is your perfect beer. When you want to enjoy a beer like I do, without the calories, sugar, guilt, or that overly full gross feeling, reach for Coors Pure. It's organic, but chill about it. Go to CoorsPure.com to see where you can find Coors Pure. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Albany, Georgia.
Okay, so now we need to know, when you hit that wall, how did you shift again?
Yeah, well, the thing is that a lot of times, especially women, you know, we don't really check in with ourselves. It's hard enough to find your footing with a career and a family, or just a career and then like carving out what's, you know, socially important to you. It's just so it's like we put our head down and we do. Mm-hmm. And we try and, you know, do it all because that's what's expected of us externally. But also I think we put a lot of personal pressure on ourselves to like be quote unquote doing it all. And that idea of doing it all is really the problem. You don't want to be doing it all, right? You don't want to ever have like completely made it, because then what's next, right?
Yeah.
There's no hunger, there's no curiosity. And so the key to this is really the self-evaluation part. And for me, like I hadn't really checked in on what I wanted to do. You know, most people, they go to university and they're like, oh, I want to be a lawyer. And then that's it. And but that person that's guiding you is like an 18-year-old version of yourself.
Yep.
So I mean, I don't know, when you're having a crisis in your life, you go, what 18-year-old can I consult with? No, you say, hey, let me talk to somebody that's got wisdom and understanding and life experience. But most of the time, we're just still going on the whim of an 18-year-old. And
yes,
that doesn't mean that 18-year-old wasn't smart and wise for being 18. But certainly, as you and I both know, you just get wiser, and what, you know, life happens and you're forced to learn a lot of things.
Well, we evolve. So, I talk about it on the show all the time, and I've never heard anybody else talk about this. So I'm really excited that you are, because where we were at 18 mentally and what fed our souls and our kind of cup then isn't always going to be there. So then you get trapped in a system that is no longer serving you. So that's why I always say, like, I feel like at 40, we should like reevaluate and do something different if we're not happy, because that's the moment where you can say, you know what, that was great for that part. And that's what I did. That was great for that part. This is where I want to go in this part.
Totally. Exactly. And it's not about saying like regretting or anything. It's just about being able to check in. And I think that's why like kind of nature's way is like the midlife crisis. It has nothing to do with like you're facing your own mortality. It's like, hey, but check in with who you are now. Check in with who, because you're still going again on a trajectory that was started by an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or a 17-year-old or a 21-year-old. But the point is you're 40 now, or you're 50 now, or you're 36 now. And inevitably you have changed whether you wanted to or not through the evolution of just existing. And so I couldn't agree with you more. The self-reflection piece is just so important. And that's how you get further and further and further from where you want to go, is the longer you haven't checked in with yourself, and you get separated from who you really are, mm-hmm. right? Which is where that unhappiness lies. You start acting less and less in the best interests of who you are, and more in the interests of who you think you should be. And a lot of those things are defined by external success and really external illusions of what should be. And this is becoming more and more a problem when you look at, you know, social media and the false illusion of perfection. And, you know, so it's really easy to get off the right track, right? Even if you think you're doing everything right. Like, for example, like I did, I was like, look it, here I am, this out there collecting trophies. I've got this company and that company and
this,
you know,
award and that award.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, oh, but it really doesn't mean anything unless you're constantly checking in, and that's where you want to be, right? So when I started with the first idea of the book is that I can't stand the word productivity, because if you think about it, it's productivity. It's everything is centered around a product, not a person, right? And so it's like, how many things did I do? Like input versus output. And that doesn't really take into consideration any of the nuance of being a human. And so, especially for women who have really had to try and kind of carve out careers in a system that was built for men by men. And that's not a bad thing. That was the situation. You know, we weren't really in the workplace. And now there's just a lot of fitting in, constantly repositioning to fit in. That's exhausting. Yeah. And all of that fitting in, again, takes you off course of really what really speaks to your true value, your true essence, you know, who you are. And so you end up doing a lot of things that don't speak to that. And you're really moving other people's agendas forward, not maliciously. Again, like people aren't out there like, ooh, how can I get her to do this? This is just what's happening, like deeply subconsciously. And so without that self-reflection piece, it's so easy to get like, you know, caught up in a current taking you somewhere where you don't really need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember vividly a few years ago, my husband looked at me and he would see me be so unhappy. And, you know, from the outside, I was overachieving, succeeding, killing it. But I wasn't feeling my own success, right? Mm-hmm. I was so heads down, like you say, doing the work and so in my gerbil wheel, I wouldn't even spend time to like go shopping and buy myself something, right? Because I was all about like save.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, Maria, you need to feel your success, like go out and buy yourself something and go shopping and don't be afraid and whatever. And so I was like, oh, and he's like, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to start doing it for you. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And like, that kind of helped a little bit for a minute, because when you don't see the fruits of your labor, mine were just going in the bank or, you know, going into my businesses. Then I was kind of like, well, what am I in this gerbil wheel for? Like, what's the point? And so there's an element of that. There's an element of like not stopping to celebrate your successes because you're so in it. And that was a big thing for me. Like, I'll never forget when I made New York Times bestseller list for my second book again. My assistant looked at me and he's like, you never have balloons. Like, you never celebrate. So I was like, okay, cool. On the way out of work today, we'll like pop a bottle of champagne. So we popped a bottle of champagne in the parking lot at Universal Studios after shooting Day at Extra. And I was like, cool, we did it. Bye. Gotta go. Yeah. And like, you're excited for the minute. And then you're like, okay, what's next?
What's next? Yeah. And a lot of that is fear-based, right? We're actually afraid to stop. It's like, what happens if I stop? Mm-hmm. I'm going to lose everything. And if I don't keep up this pace, somebody is going to come in and go at least this pace or mm-hmm. faster. And that's where so much of the exhaustion comes in, because you're just constantly trying to go. And it would be bad enough if it was just about, I've got to get this higher and higher and higher, but it's more than that. It's like, if I stop, it could be over.
Yeah.
This could all end if I don't stop. So that's why it's so hard to stop and reflect too, because number one, again, there's that, like, could I be replaced in 5 seconds if I don't keep up this momentum? But also, when you're filling your life in your head with so much busyness, you're also, and you become more and more disconnected from yourself, you're scared to stop because you're scared about silence, and you're afraid to, like, what will I discover about myself? I'm just going to keep going. And it's like, we got to get over that fear, because that's where all the toxic stuff comes from, is out of fear, right? And so that's why so many people are, like, overscheduled. Like, you look at my agenda, my planner used to be just like, mm-hmm. for, you know, 6 days a week. Like, so it's scary to be like, whoa, I need to pull this way back and just really be kind of simple and minimalist and very focused on, you know, I talk about having 3 major goals at any one time and just be focusing on, you know, I mean, it's life, you still have to do the mundane and the stuff, you know, that everybody has to do, but like, where most of your energy should be spent are those 3 big things at any one time.
Guys, is there anything more underrated in terms of self-care than a good hot shower? I know we've talked about cold showers on the show, but I haven't quite gotten there yet. Maybe someday, but my showers are my quiet time to be alone, refocus, pray, power up for the day. Our good friends at Olay Body recognize this and believe our shower products should provide the highest level of body care to help us leave the shower looking and feeling our best. With that in mind, Olay Body has just launched a new collection of skincare-inspired body washes that include premium skincare ingredients designed to care for a variety of skin concerns, conditions, and types. Olay Body visibly transforms skin, you guys. It's changed how I thought about my body care routine and my shower. On that note, I'm actually going to go use my Olay Body exfoliating and moisturizing body wash right now. I need some moisture. Yeah, right now. Shower time, people. All right. You can find Olay Body Care products in stores or online. Olay Body, fearless in my skin.
And, you know, there are like diet journals where you write, if you like want to lose weight or something, you write down every single thing you eat. I talk about in the book doing, it's like a time challenge where you, for 1 week, you write down literally every single thing you do morning till night. I mean, other than like going to the bathroom and stuff, but like wake up, have breakfast, jump in the shower, like all of these things. And then when you get to the end of the week, you look at how you've spent your time, and then you look at your 3 big goals. And I think you'll be shocked to see how little time you're putting into those 3 big goals.
Yep.
You should be putting about 80% of your time into those 3 big goals, when in reality, you're probably putting 10 to 15% of time. So this is what leads to exhaustion and frustration and a lack of motivation, because it's like, as you said, it's like on a hamster wheel, and like you're going fast, but are you really going anywhere?
Yeah.
Not really. Not really anywhere meaningful, right? And that's what it's all about. Again, like to your point, if you're just putting money in the bank and you can't take any time to enjoy anything and reflect upon it, it's like if a tree falls in the woods, do you really hear it? It's kind of the same thing. It's like, yes, I guess you could look at a bank balance, but how does that speak to where you are emotionally and mentally? Well, there's no connection whatsoever, actually.
Yeah.
So if anything, it's just propping up fear, like, oh, good, I've got this money. That means I'm something. That means I'm safe. And really, we know, you know, when you look at health things or you look at global pandemics, this money really doesn't. At the end of the day, it's very vapid.
Yeah.
So now more than ever, these things are important, right? To find meaning and what really speaks to your core values. Because, you know, as we see, this stuff can be taken away like that.
Yeah. So when you kind of found yourself, you had your success again, or you had your success, you were killing it, and then you found yourself in that moment again where you're like, oh shit, I'm burnt out. I'm about to, this could be the moment I lose everything again.
Yeah.
What did you do then, kind of step by step?
Well, so the funny thing is, the whole reason I realized I was like on an impending burnout is because I got this call from a New York lit agent. And I get these, because of my blog, I get a lot of like, you know, people, hey, you want to write a book, blah, blah, blah. But you know, they're never really real. And so, but this pretty big New York lit agent sent me an email. I didn't respond. She followed up. She felt very persistent. So I took a look at it and I was like, oh, this person's actually real and legit. She says, we want you to write a book. We want you to write a book. So I kind of got excited and I said, okay, yeah, I'll take a call. And I was really excited. I like put together some pitch ideas of like things I wanted to write, but I had come down here to be a screenwriter. So like fiction. So I'd like put these ideas together for this book. I get on the phone with her and she's like, I'm like, so what do you think I should write about? And she was like, well, about you, like it'll be a book about you. And I was like, what? I was so like disappointed. And I was like, who would read that? What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, I got off the phone and I was like, I'm so frustrated. I got excited again about writing. And now this, like, whatever. And it was in that next 24 hours, this is exactly when I had this epiphany, that I went into my office the next morning and I was still thinking about the call and irritated. And then I got into my office and I looked around and I had the good fortune to work with some really strong, inspirational women. I looked around and I was like, I think we're all suffering from the same illness here. We're just going, going, going. And so it was actually in that phone call that I started to have this epiphany about like, oh, whoa, like I have accomplished a lot of stuff. And I, you know, I have built this big thing and this thing and like whatever. I'm like, whoa, why have I not even thought about that? So it was, the catalyst was this call from this lit agent, and we ended up working together and sold the book and all that stuff. But so the funny thing is, I didn't start writing this book as like an expert, right? I started it. It was like it was really like a real-time process of self-discovery for me. And the first thing that I did was I came up with this new theory called the POP effect, which is the real formula for productivity. And that is, the first P stands for personality, the second P stands for opportunity, and the third P stands for productivity. And that is how you come up with your personal productivity formula. So in other words, it's not about input versus output. It's about, number one, personality. Who are you right now? How did you get here? Where do you want to go? What, you know, what makes you tick? Really doing an evaluation of who you are, what makes you happy. Again, all of these things, just like you said, like not relying on that 18-year-old version of yourself. Who am I right now? So there, in the book, there's like a whole tons of like exercises to like really kind of hone in on all these things. And then the second part is O, is opportunity. And that's like, so now that you understand exactly who you are, what is the exact opportunity around you? Like, you know, if you're living in Detroit, Michigan, or if you're living somewhere in Africa, that opportunity is going to be very different, right? So you have to start off being pretty realistic about, this is who I am, this is where I am, this is where I want to go. Now, what is the opportunity that is in front of me, realistically? So then there's like a whole thing of kind of drilling down on what the landscape of your opportunity looks like. And maybe it's a question of like, okay, I really want to be you know, a dentist or something, but you don't have the education. So like, what's your opportunity then to study? Like, you start putting a plan in place around what you will need to get you there. And then you can start finally evaluating the second P, which is productivity, is like, what now would make sense as a plan for you to feel truly productive? And that, again, is just really identifying those three things that are really important to you at any given moment. I like to spread them out over like a career, a relationship, and a personal. So like, and again, depends on where you are in your life. If you're late 20s, maybe you're not focused on a relationship. Maybe you've got two big career things and then like a personal thing. You know, maybe you're in your mid 30s and you're like, oh, I've always wanted to have a family. So maybe you put your emphasis more on there, right? Everything's very pliable to where you are and what you want. But again, it's about being very cognizant about constantly working with a razor focus towards those three big goals and cutting out a lot of the other stuff that doesn't serve you, that serves other people's agendas. And that's hard to do because that means a lot of saying no. That's a lot of stopping apologizing when you're not really sorry or shouldn't really being sorry. That's about like just really changing even like your basic vocabulary. there's a lot of stuff that is just granular and innate to specifically women that really does not help us. It really holds us back. And so it's shedding all of these things that really weigh us down so that we can be razor focused on working towards those three or four, it's not in stone the three, but those small number of goals that really speak to the core value of who you are.
I love that. I love that because I had done something a little similar years ago. I like created a diagram because I was so overwhelmed and I had so many things I was doing. So in the left margin, I wrote everything I was doing.
Yeah.
And
probably exhausting.
Yeah. And then in the right margin, I had the goal. I was like, okay, sure. I want to do my own show. And right. then anything that took me to the show, I drew a line to it. Exactly. Anything that didn't wasn't going to get carried over. So like I was acting at the time, which was super fun, but it was time consuming. And yeah. I was like, that's not really where I want to go ultimately. Like, so that had to get cut. And there were things that got cut like that. I like the idea of being flexible with how many things, right? Because you're yeah. right. Like there is a point in your life where you have to realize, oh, I do want to have a family, and that's going to take some consideration and some time to focus on it. So I'm going to now, after this show, really look at mine. And because, you know, it's yeah. always like we think more is better, right? Oh. So like Kevin and I will go to the mall, we'll have our list of things for 2020. It's like, here are all the projects we have. Yeah. And then we're like so freaking overwhelmed. And yeah. And listen, we're hard workers and we're trying, but you can't do it all.
No.
And, you know, for women, I always say, like, we try to be everything to everyone and then we end up being nothing to ourselves.
Exactly.
And so I'm going to now apply this kind of three-thing rule. I already kind of have my ideas in my head of what those three things are. But you were writing this book, and I'm pretty sure I remember that it took you like 8 months. Like, you were... It was not yeah. happening. And I know what book publishers are like. They give you a deal and yeah. you have to do it within that calendar year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or totally. They get upset. So was it like 8 months in you started pen to paper? Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's correct. Okay. Yeah. So then I had this big kind of, yeah, it, like epiphany. Oh, I know what I'll write about. And then as I said, I was certainly not an expert on this. So as I was doing the self-discovery, I was not writing anything, right? And I was like, I just couldn't quite find the vibe of it, or and then finally something clicked in when I'm not exactly sure what that was, but I was very scared that this book wasn't going to get done and I was going to have to return in advance. And then there was a moment when, again, I'm not sure exactly, but it just all started to click. Everything that I'd been like kind of studying about, you know, at large and about myself, just started to gel, but it did take like, you know, it was scary there for a second, because then I wrote the entire book in like 2 months.
We all want better hair, but sometimes we struggle with it. Too frizzy, too dry, whatever it is, Function of Beauty is here to help. Function of Beauty is the world leader in customizable beauty, offering precise formulations for your hair-specific needs. Yes, you start by taking a quick quiz, determining your hair type and hair goals. Next, you choose your color and fragrance, or go fragrance and dye-free. Then Function's team determines the perfect blend of ingredients, bottles your formula, and delivers it right to you. There are over 54 trillion possible formulations, all vegan and cruelty-free. And guys, they have over 50,000 five-star reviews. I think that's saying something. Go to functionofbeauty.com/better to take your quiz and save 20% off your first order. That applies to their full range of customized hair, skin, and beauty products. Go to functionofbeauty.com/better to let them know we sent you. It helps us, of course, so thank you for remembering that, and get 20% off your order. That's functionofbeauty.com/better.
Well, which it sounds part, like, know. Like one of the things I marked in here that I was telling the audience I was excited about was when you said, we have a constant need to prove our worth. And right. I think perhaps it sounds like you didn't even know your own worth when you started the journey. and you had to find your worth and realize that you had something valuable to say. I had a similar experience with my book. I was approached by somebody random and they were like, hey, would you want to write a book? I'm like, write a book? Like, what? Huh? And I ended up writing a book that ended up in the advice category and made the New York Times bestseller list and had no idea I had even written an advice book. Like, I just wrote what I wanted to share information-wise with people. Right. And so I think it's kind of funny, like you can go on a journey and not really know the end. I think sometimes we always feel like we're supposed to know the end.
Totally.
And that can be limiting.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I say in the book, one of my favorite, I don't know if it's a quote, but one of my favorite sayings is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Mm-hmm. And I think it, you know, it's just, we get so invested in outcome. And of course that never really works. And again, like that's the wrong drive. It should be the experience, right? Which sounds cliche and cheesy, but actually the experience is something that can never be taken away from you. The outcome can always be taken away from you. And most often it is, really, honestly. It's never quite as you imagined it, right? So you have a lot of invested in something that is so intangible and down the road, when you could be invested in the here and now and what is going on for you in this moment. This is so much more valuable, right? Mm-hmm. Because no matter where you've landed, it will be a success. Even if the outcome that you desired, outcome you want, if you just looked at that outcome, could have been considered a failure. As long as you're invested in the journey, it will never be a failure if the outcome is different. It is just a teachable moment. Mm-hmm. But if you're invested completely in the outcome and it's not what you wanted, then that is a failure, right? Like, you can see how then I wanted something, I didn't get it, that's a failure. If you're invested in the journey and the learning process and the self-discovery and feeling everything as you're going along, as opposed to being numb until you get somewhere, then that can't be a failure.
Yeah.
Even if the outcome at the end is different than what you expected.
Yeah.
At worst, it's a teachable moment. At best, it's a fabulous success.
Yeah. The other thing that I think we were touching on without saying it earlier, that I really loved, is you may feel like the most productive person alive, but without a purpose, you're just busy.
Yes.
I mean, drop the book.
Right.
Talk about that.
I was just busy. I wasn't being productive. I was just busy. And those trophies and those successes are very misleading, because you think that's you're being super productive, but really you're just getting shiny objects for being busy. That's not the headspace or the physical space that you want to embody. Because what happens then is, the end of every day, you're exhausted.
Yep.
Right. And of course, cumulatively, that's not sustainable. You're going to hit a wall.
Health-wise, too.
Yes, exactly. I have a very simple litmus test. You know, people are always like, well, are you happy? Are you happy? And I find, like, happy is a very esoteric, everybody has a different definition of what that means. There's a lot on it. But for me, you know, I can always tell what my energy level is, right? I can tell you right now. Right now, I've actually have great energy. I'm happy to be talking to you. You know, there are other times you can just feel innately what your energy is. Mm-hmm. So at the end of every day, check in with your energy. If you're feeling exhausted day after day, you're on the wrong course. If you're doing something you really love and you're really dialed into, you can be tired, really tired at the end of the day. But rarely is your energy exhausted, right? You're not depleted.
Yeah.
You're still that something that's really you're doing things that are really connected to who you are and where you want to go. Your energy stays very high. Again, you can be tired, but that energy level is high. It's when you are doing things that are not connected with you, like maybe the acting that you were talking about that wasn't speaking to you, that it starts to, like, day after day, you get to the end of the day and you're like, this is where it's like, oh, thank God it's Friday. Right. And I know people say that without thinking about it, but it's like, that's an exhausted energy. That's like when you start panicking on Sunday night, you know, cause you got to go in Monday. That's an exhausted energy. That's mm-hmm. not where you want to live. And that's like the busyness litmus test. Are you just really busy, or are you really productive?
Yeah.
And if you're exhausted versus just tired, but good energy, you're going to see if you're on the right track or not.
Yeah, I think that's so important because, like you said, a lot of us are so busy and we're so kind of heads down working, we don't know how to do those self-checks. And I had a really great guest. I don't know if you know Susie Batiste. She created Poopery.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know her personally, but I know of her.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she was like, I think of everything in resonance and dissonance.
Yes,
you know, if it feels resonant, that means I'm like full of life, skipping my step, feeling amazing. If I think of something I'm going to embark on and I'm like, ugh, I can't, I'm not going to want to do that, whatever. And that's how I try to make a lot of my decisions about what I'm going to do. That. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't. But that's a great way to say it. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. When you talk to women, what do you think is kind of the most common theme about getting shit done?
In terms of like an inability to do it, like a negative theme or a positive theme?
Let's do both.
Okay. Well, I think the thing is, one of the things is like, there's a lot of complaining in terms of this is specifically to do with partners, but like, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to, you know, I got to take the dishes out of the dishwasher and da 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 da. And a lot of this is self-imposed. This is a woman needing to have things a certain way. And more often than not, partners are very willing to help. It's just they try and help and it's not done in a certain way. And then they kind of get barked at. And it's like, do you want to spend your time obsessing that the plates weren't put around way the right way that you would like them? Or do you want to find happiness in your relationship and use that energy to do something that'll bolster that relationship, as opposed to being like obsessive about this idea of like, I need to be controlling everything. Like if I'm not doing, everything's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad thinking, because it's like they, you know, they say about a good CEO is somebody that can put an infrastructure in place and then walk away. They get the right people and it basically runs itself, right? And I think the same thing is true of like a household, where it's like, stop trying to have your fingers in every little thing in the house and then complain about it. When there are so many, again, like I think we would be surprised. I'm always surprised how willing a partner is to help. It's just maybe not in the 100% way I would do it, but that's okay. Like we've got to be able to free up some emotional energy around these things, so that we can, again, enjoy, not be so wrapped up. A lot of it is like, again, fear-based. But, you know, again, like fear is the number one sucker of energy. So I see that a lot. And then I see something that I really actually revere in men is their ability to compartmentalize. So and that in a relationship stance is not always the best, but for a career I think it's really, really helpful. Because in that morning when I had that epiphany about the book, when I went into the office, I ended up going out for drinks that night with a couple of those women, and I looked around we were at a little bar, and I looked around the bar, and all of the women were either on their phones or the conversations we were having were all work related. And the men were sitting there with beers, watching the TV, like they were in the moment. They were able to step out of something and be in that moment, where we're like constantly like dragging stuff with us. Mm. And it's
complaining and.
Yeah. It's like, or I'll send an email and then for like 2 days, I'll be like, I should have said that, you know, I really, you know, I could have said that better. And that's just not happening with men. Like they send the email and then they're on to the next thing. And I think that's a really good lesson. Just done is done. It's not about getting the absolute best. It's really, is it good enough? Great. Move on. And
yeah, but we're such perfection seekers, and it has to be from the way we're raised as young girls, right? You've got to be a good girl. Got to be perfect. Let's get the bow on perfect. Let's get the dress tied right. And so we've been raised. And then, of course, there's the societal pressure to be perfect. Right. And so I think that's what's led, along with fear, to the controlling nature that some of us fall into. And so what is your advice? And did you have to undo some of this yourself? How do we do that? Like I was telling Kelsey the other day, I'm like, guys have it so awesome. They don't give a shit about anything, right? They just want to make money and drink and have sex, whatever. Yeah. Like pretty simple, right? Sorry to like break you guys down like that simply.
That's
and
us.
Girls were, okay, thank you. And girls were like, oh my God, I've got to save the world. I've got to do this. I've got to do that.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly.
Summer is upon us, guys. And if your kids haven't already been at home with you all year, well, now they will be and without any schoolwork. But I have an awesome idea. Why not gift your young innovators with super cool STEAM projects to celebrate the end of the school year? With a KiwiCo subscription, your child gets a new crate full of fun science and art projects every month. And not only keeps them busy, but it's fun and educational too. I've been exploring their website. I personally can't wait to gift my friend's son, Andrew, the walking robot he can build and the astronaut starter kit. How amazing. Who didn't want to be an astronaut growing up? Your child's free time is occupied constructively where they get to have fun while learning. And to me, it doesn't get any better than that. With KiwiCo, there's something for every kid or kid at heart every month. Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/better. That's KIWICO.com/better.
You're having sex thinking about your four-year plan as opposed to what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
And so like this can obviously lead to a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
I think the big thing here in terms of like a tip or a technique is the awareness piece. It's just watching how you're behaving is 50% of the remedy, right? Once you start seeing these behavior, you can step outside of yourself and watch the way, just my ability to like identify, oh wait, I'm still thinking about this email I sent 2 days ago. That's nuts. What purpose does that serve for me?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Who cares?
Right? It doesn't change the outcome of the person receiving that email. It doesn't change anything. I'm just sitting here spinning my wheels over it for literally no reason, right? So just having awareness about your behavior, and that's part of the thing, like writing down the time challenge, you know, you're just writing down what you're specific, like physically doing, but there is something very revealing about your emotional reaction to all of those physical things as you're writing them down. And I think that's the first catalyst for just being a witness to your own behavior. Once you see these things, it's not very easy, but it's far easier to start course correcting. Hey, I don't want to do this. This isn't serving me. I've got to stop that behavior. And so it's just like rehabit building, right? It's like undoing one thing to start another thing. And it's amazing. Once you start putting those practices in place, that you very quickly stop thinking about them and they just become muscles that you're flexing. Yeah. But until you have the awareness around them, it's just automatic pilot hamster wheel shit going on, right?
Yeah.
And that's so... it's just watch your behavior. Watch, like, the next time you're feeling angst at all, stop. What am I feeling right now? What was the thought that was just going through my head when I started having this feeling? So it's a paying attention to almost like your physical feelings, like mm-hmm. I've got tightness here, I'm irritated for some reason, all of stop. Why am I feeling this way? Oh, I'm feeling this way because I'm obsessing because I just had a meeting where I didn't say what I really wanted to say and I should have, and now I'm pissed that I didn't. Okay, why didn't you say what you wanted to say? What were you afraid of? What, you know, and just started looking at the behaviors and how you're responding. Again, it solves 50% of the problem, but we're not looking at ourselves. We're mm-hmm. scared to be looking at ourselves, or we're just so numb and again in the process that it doesn't even dawn on us.
Yeah.
To...
And we're spending the time complaining to our friends about the fact that we didn't do it and wasting that time just rehashing that.
Exactly. And that's literally like when I went out for drinks with my friend that night, that is what the conversation, oh, and I can't believe like, da, 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 da. Do you think the guys at the next table drinking the beers and watching the bat, nothing like this going on, just pure joy, simple, drinking a beer, watching a sports, whatever they were watching, but like loving it. And I'm not saying like, we definitely don't want to go 100% in that direction. There's a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, well, we've already masculinized ourselves so much. We need
exactly.
To, yeah.
We want to definitely be leaning into the nuances of femininity. That's where like the richness is. That's where true creativity lies, I believe. You know, you want to dig as deep as you can into the feminine. But that's not to say that there aren't very valuable lessons that can be learned from the other sex and vice versa.
Vice versa, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it's funny because, you know, on doing some talk shows for the book, that like, oh, could my husband read this? Or the guy will be like, well, this book isn't for me. And I'm like, you know, honestly, the second half of the book is all real time management tips. So that's good for you. But I'm like, just understanding the female psyche and where we've come from, I think is like a huge gift for, yeah, for a guy to understand that. Right.
Absolutely.
It's like, ah, okay. You know, great. I mean, it can't hurt to understand to a greater degree how women operate, you know? So
I can speak to our male listeners quickly. I feel like I have a whole new view of my wife. You know, she's a really hardworking producer in this business, but the amount of extra societal pressure and like marionette strings that are placed on her, yeah, just for who she is. Just so for any of our male listeners, I echo what you say, Erin. It's an incredible book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, Erin, I didn't know our conversation was going to go like this. And now not only am I handcuffing you, you're my new best friend. You just don't know it yet. We are hanging out. I need to spend more time with you.
I'm all yours.
But before I let you go, I have to get some of those time management skills for people who... Yeah. I know they love the conversation anyway, but I want to make sure that we hit on some really kind of precise techniques for people, because I think time management is a big issue for a lot of people and we don't learn it in school.
Sure, totally. So I think the number one thing, other than being very clear on your goals and all of that stuff, because it's amazing how much more motivation and efficient you are when you're really loving what you're doing. So besides that, let's just say you figured that out. For me, the death of creativity and productivity is multitasking. Mm. Just not possible to churn out top work when you've got five things going at the same time. When you're checking an email, writing a proposal, you're looking at a text from a girlfriend that's just broken up with a boyfriend. Like, there's just absolutely no way you can be as dialed in as you need to be. And it's, you know, the thing is, it's like you think, oh, I'm doing five things at once. Look how much I got done. But really, you're doing a really subpar version of all of those things, right? Yeah. And so if you would just be focused on one thing at a time, you would get it done so much quicker and at such a higher quality. You know, you don't have to go back and edit. You don't have to go back and do redos. So do as much as possible one thing at a time and do it really well. And when you're having your conversation with your girlfriend, be really dialed into that. You don't need to talk for 45 minutes. You can talk for 10 minutes. But if you're really dialed in and listening, that's going to be a far better experience for both of you than a 45-minute call where you're like, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's just no way that these two things are operating at maximum capacity, right? Or maximum outcome. So number one, like turn the phone down, like face down, do what you need to do. What's right in front of you, and do only that to the greatest extent that you can. The second thing is, I really believe my life was changed. I used to be like a night owl. I used to think that was like really sexy and creative, and like I'm a writer and I like stay up all night and then get up late. This is terrible. This is like a weird cliche. I don't know where it came from. I'm sure it's true for some people, but for me, when I took control of my morning, and really, you know, carving out, I meditate every morning, but if that's not for you, like finding something for you to find calm and focus, not rolling over and picking up your phone and scrolling. This is a way to start your day in a very scattered mental framework that you'll just carry throughout the day. And this inevitably will hurt your productivity and your time management. So like carving out 20-25 minutes every morning, to just be calm and focused and set the tone for a day is very, very helpful. And then what's really worked for me is I look at my day and I do all of the heavy lifting as early as possible, right? So we're just way more productive in the morning, way more productive before lunch. There's a thing that kind of happens after you eat. It's kind of digesting, processing sugar, all of that kind of stuff where you hit a slump. It's a much harder thing to get heady work done in the afternoon. So you want to be scheduling things like meetings and things where you're more talking as opposed to like, I really need to focus in here and create things. Those things you want to do in the morning. Anything you kind of are fearing doing, check that out, because that's probably something that you would put in the morning, right? That's mm-hmm. going to take more stamina, more willpower. You want to put those things at the beginning where you've got the energy and the freshness. And specifically as it pertains to like the office, it's so easy to get distracted. Like And it's like what I call subconscious procrastination. It's like you walk by and somebody starts talking to you, and like without even thinking about it, you're like, oh, I better talk to this person, you know? And again, it's just because you're trying to not do, it's not because you're like this great office friend, it's because you're really avoiding doing the stuff that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So don't get locked into, be very cognizant of like, I'm going to my desk and these are the three things I'm doing. I can talk to so-and-so after, I'm not going to hang out at the water cooler. You know, it's like, be very diligent about those morning hours.
CBD is very popular right now, guys, because we all want something to help us with our stress, but there's so many different brands and it comes in so many different forms. So how do you choose what to use? Look no further. I am here to tell you about Caliper. Caliper is a CBD powder that's the only clinically proven fast-acting CBD. It delivers 30 times more CBD in the first 30 minutes versus CBD oil, and it has no weird taste or residue. You guys know I love my smoothies, and this powder conveniently mixes right in. Another reason I love Caliper is that you get all the great calming benefits with no added junk. It's vegan, it has no fillers or added chemicals. Get 20% off your first order when you use the promo code BETTER at trycaliper.com/better. You guys, you can try it risk-free for 30 days, and if you don't love it, they'll give you a full refund. That's right, full refund. That's trycaliper.com/better. Don't forget the promo code BETTER for 20% off your first order. Enjoy.
Yeah, I've been told by a very successful friend, she's like, eat the frog. Whatever call on your list you are really dreading, or yeah, the thing you are dreading most to do, do it first and eat the frog.
Because it's unbelievable how much kind of like subconscious anxiety and stress you have. Like all day, if you're leaving that thing that you really don't want to do, that thing is still with you all day long.
You exhausting think
you're putting it you. The day, it's with you all day long. When you get that, conversely, when you get that thing you really don't want to do done, it's almost like you're in a high. You're almost like, oh my God, got that thing done. Yeah. And then you kind of walk through the day, rest of the day with like this energy, right? Oh, another thing, one quick thing. A really good motivator for doing something when you don't want to do it is I literally get into the mental space of saying, how is it going to feel when I'm done this?
Oh yeah.
And I go, and like that feeling of like, I want to get to there is such a good like motivator to just do the thing, because you know how good you're going to feel when it's done. So just do it, right? So yeah, eat
the
frog.
I love that.
It's good.
What do you think about to-do lists?
You know, it's kind of, on the one hand, I like, so I used to go to bed and my wheels would be spinning like, okay, I got to do this. And I do feel like if I write down at the end of the day, hey, what are some things I need to get done tomorrow? Then I do that and my mind stops spinning, right? It's like, I know I've got the list. I'll check in with this in the morning. But I do feel like there is, unless those to-do lists are, again, very correlated to those big goals, right? And again, you have to factor in, you know, you do have to pick up dry cleaning. You do have to do. So it's not about like loving every single thing on that list, but you do have to be very diligent that most things on that list are talking to those three big things, two or three or four big things. Because if you don't, then that list starts to run you. You're not running the list. Yep. So as long as you're running the list, it's good. I think it's good. But you can't have like 75 things on there, because then you're setting yourself up to fail. Number one. Number two, it's exhausting just and daunting just to look at that. It's anxiety producing. So it's got to be a tailored list of like, what are the big broad strokes that I need to get done? And then maybe like, if you don't want to forget picking up the dry cleaning, like add that on. But that's like in like a smaller, you know, metaphorical font. You know, it's like, these are the big goals. Okay.
I love it. I can't wait to make my list of three things. I mean, I know it, but I'm just going to, you know, I created, after I had brain surgery 3 years ago, I created an out of office email that everyone got. And it basically says like, I'm focusing on life rather than emails now. So if you need anything, here are the 10 people you can go to achieve those things rather than me thinking I have to answer everything and having the pressure of having to email everybody back. And it's changed my life.
Yes.
Because what I find with email is we end up being so responsive and so just accomplishing the demands of others rather than what we need to do in the day.
And you said something very, very important that I talk about in the book. You train people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're responding within 1 second,
yep,
every time, or if people are asking things that aren't really in your purview and you're like, hey, but I can find out. And well, you've just trained that person that it's okay to come to you. Now, on a one-off might not be so bad, but if you're doing that with great regularity, now you're getting dozens of emails that you, it's not their fault they're emailing you, it's yours. You trained that person. You email, I'll respond, and I'll do it within 5 minutes or mm-hmm. within an hour. You've set that expectation. So you got to be very cognizant of the expectations you're setting up others. Again, that's in your control. That's your responsibility. It's not the other people's responsibility. You've got a friend that's calling you every day. She doesn't work in the day and she's calling you every day, and you roll your eyes and go and pick up the phone. That's on you, yep. right? You train, she's calling because you're answering. Right? So you got to train people how to treat you, take some responsibility on that. It's not them, it's you.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's freed me so much. And I definitely recommend finding a way to implement it in your life, because yeah. otherwise you're doing what everybody else wants you to do. And then you're feeling like, for me, I was so exhausted. I never had time to get to my stuff.
Right. So, totally. Or even if you get to it, there's just a total lack of enthusiasm around it, because it's like, oh, now I got to get to my stuff, which is exactly the wrong vibe.
Yeah. Well, Erin, this is part one of like many, many parts I hope you'll come back for, because I am obsessed with you. I'm obsessed with How to Get Shit Done, which, by the way, is available wherever books are sold. You can go to Amazon, obviously, and you can check out Erin's self-improvement website, pickthebrain.com, for more amazing practices. And I am so excited I got to know you. This was yeah. one of my favorite conversations. Like, oh, I
thank you. Me too. Well, anytime. Let's have a socially distanced hang in Venice.
I would love that. I would love that. I'm definitely going to reach out to you, and I've been creating my own new tribe in the last like 2 years here on Better Together, and I have the most amazing women that are just so inspiring and uplifting and fun. And so I'll have to introduce you to some of them too.
I'd love it. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Have an amazing day. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. I have a new best friend, guys.
Oh my God.
I love her.
I love her too.
Like love
yeah.
her.
Yeah. You should see my page of notes. Oh my gosh.
I know. I wrote down like, check in with who you are now. Dang, that's good. And then you train people, which I've told Kevin this for a long time. Like I'm like, you can't just respond to people right away, because then they expect that. Like, you have to temper people's expectations of you, right? And so I'm so excited about this episode. She just gave me so much life. Like, she gave me like 3 lattes worth of energy just now.
Yeah. I'm feeling totally amped too.
Same.
And I love, you know, there's such a specific energy to her where, you know, sometimes I feel like this, and we see it from men and women, this like no apologies, be who you are mentality can almost become antagonistic. But there's a way to like, you know, she says, avoid no, sorry, and should. And there's a way to be this person while still being light and pleasant and enjoyable. And she somehow manages to be completely herself, completely devoted to her own pursuits, but really pleasant and someone I want to be around.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Totally.
You guys know what else I like too? When she was talking about fear, and she was saying that fear, which, what was it? Fear is the number one sucker of energy, but also how if you're afraid and you're going towards a goal, someone who's not afraid is going to come in and swoop it.
Totes.
And I was like, oh my. Yes, of course. Yep. Of course. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm excited for your guys' new friendship, because I'm reaping the benefits.
I know. I'm so going to Venice right now, and we're knocking on her door. Hi, it's me, your new best friend. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, please subscribe to the show. If you haven't already become a member of Patreon, please click the link in the summary and join us there. If you liked today's episode, Jeff has an episode he wants to recommend.
Yeah, I was saying, I think the Bazoma St. John episode is really good. In terms of, especially like specifically the female professional experience. And she was just promoted to CMO of Netflix. So it's a good time to be shining a spotlight on her.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for joining us as always. We now know better. So today we've gotten better. Shout out to the booth again for kicking ass today. And Jeff.
Yes.
You'll have your rundown so you can kick ass in the office.
I need to just print it. You're right. I like was thinking I can save paper, but with the Zoom, sometimes my computer freezes. So I'm just gonna print it every day. It's good. I gotta quit bumping my head.
Dad, that was really funny. All right, Jeff, you're kicking ass in the office too.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us. You can follow us at Maria Menounos, at Aaron Falconer, at Ryan Nelson, at Jeffrey Cranegram, at Kelsmeyer too. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.